Hey, Joe.
Hi, Jade. We are at your favorite place on Earth.
We are at Disney World.
Specifically, we are at the Disney Swan Resort.
Does not look like a swan to me when I look behind me. It looks more like a koi.
Welcome to Financially Ever After, your podcast for navigating the financial side of divorce. I'm Joseph D. Cruz, and I'm here with my co-host, Jade Eagles.
We're here to remind you that divorce might be the end of one chapter, but it's also really the start of a brand new journey filled with hope and growth.
Each episode will share practical tips for financial empowerment and insights to make this journey a little less daunting.
So thank you for joining us and welcome to Financially Ever After. It's got scales.
Yes.
All right.
Anyway, okay. We aren't talking about that right now. We're going to be talking about debts and divorce. A really fun topic to talk about at Disney World.
Well, people do get into debt probably going to Disney, so probably...
maybe. Yeah. So we're going to talk about managing your financial liabilities. So listener, this question's for you. How many credit cards do you have in your wallet? Do you know?
Or your top drawer.
Or your top drawer, because I have a lot in my top drawer. How about your spouse? Do you know how many credit cards they have in their wallet or their purse?
Or even probably even not even just, you know, credit cards. There's so many other forms of debts, which we're kind of going to get into today, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. Here's another little quiz for you for later. Which is the one type of debt that is not shared upon divorce, even if you acquired it during marriage?
Ooh. Am I trying to answer that now?
No, not yet. Not yet.
Okay.
We're just going to.
Maybe later.
Yeah. That's just for you to wonder about.
All right. Cool. So, yeah, we're going to be talking about debts, but specifically we're going to try and get into evaluating, you know, joint debt, which includes obviously your liabilities during that you acquired during marriage. What else are we going to cover on there, Joe?
We're going to talk about negotiating the debt responsibility during divorce settlements and then
come
tips.
Up with some tips, yeah, for managing.
Hopefully reducing debts post-divorce.
Sounds good. All right. Well, let's get into it there. So, obviously, on the last episode, we spoke about assets.
Yes. So, this is the opposite, right? We're talking about the money that you owe, not the money that you have or the assets that you have. So, like you said, credit cards, student loans, mortgages, business loans, you name it.
I've got an interesting, there was a study done from US News, I think it was.
Yeah, it was a survey. They surveyed like 1,200 people or something like that.
And they found that 2/3 of respondents, so 66%, share some form of debt with their former spouse, most commonly in the form of either credit card.
42%.
Yep. Mortgage, 38, which I actually would have thought
30%.
Credit card would have been maybe a bit higher, and then auto loans, which was 30% as well. And the vast majority of those who shared the debt, or 79%, say that it was difficult to separate their marital debt. And 18% said that it was extremely difficult. Which I can kind of see when you start peeling and understanding what's involved and what's involved in even separating debt as well.
Yeah. I think what's involved, honestly, is even figuring out what the debt is. So just like the asset spreadsheet that we talked about in the prior episode, I think the first thing that people need to do is start finding those different debts and adding them to the spreadsheet or to the worksheet.
Yeah.
A way to find these debts is to run your credit report and also get your spouse's credit report.
Mm-hmm.
And you can start adding those line items to that worksheet that you started from the prior episode. So similar to assets, debts and dividing of debts depend on whether it's separate property or acquired during marriage. So debts that you walked in with before you got married, those are still yours. Mm-hmm. Congratulations, you get to walk away with them. But debts acquired during marriage, with the exception of the one I'm going to tell you about later, those are meant for you to split and negotiate.
Joe, I know we've also spoken about earlier about, you know, community property states. You know, does it differ where you are and what state you are?
So just like assets, there's the community property 50-50 states and then the equitable states where it's quote unquote fair,
mm-hmm.
right? So not necessarily 50-50, but does need to be split. But I think the main point I wanted to make here is that any debt you had before marriage is still yours. Any debt during marriage, except for that secret one we'll tell you about in a minute, needs to be split. So quiz answer.
Yep.
Which debt acquired even during marriage do you not share upon divorce?
That's a good one. I actually don't know.
Student loan debt. Ooh, so typically college, I guess college, master's degrees, doctorate degrees, they are not shared because I guess the government views that, or the law views that, as only that person that got that higher education benefits from that. So you, the person that took on the loan to get that higher education, has to keep the loan. I think that makes rational sense, logical sense.
But when we start looking at debts, what are the things that we're looking at there? So, you know, you mentioned about like coming up with like running your credit report. Mm-hmm. That's an important one. I think also there's going to be debts maybe that you're not aware of potentially as well.
Yeah.
So, I also believe that you can also then be looking towards your tax returns there. Certain line items there could uncover your tax return that actually can show a potential asset that you're not aware of, but also potential liabilities as well, correct?
So let's say, I guess if you have a house and you're living in the house, you'd probably know about that mortgage, but maybe you didn't know about a rental property or a commercial property, and that loan could possibly show up on the tax return. In terms of things that you can do while you're divorcing and once you're divorced, you could go through each of those debts that you found on your credit report and A, quickly remove your spouse as an authorized user on any of your debts. Mm-hmm. So let's say you added your spouse to your favorite Amex card. I feel like Amex should pay me. I keep dropping their name.
You
are plugging them.
You have got a lot of points.
They are not our sponsor. Let's just say that officially. But if they wanted to be, they could get in touch with me. Anyway, remove your spouse as an authorized signer. So
why is that important?
Because they can continue racking up, you know, debts. They can keep spending on your credit card until you take them off.
Yeah. But why, I guess, you know, that's important to be able to do that, because if it's a joint credit card, even if you remove that person from it, it's still counted as a marital asset though, like a marital debt.
Yes. But at least if you know you're keeping this credit card, you're not allowing them to add any more to it. And actually, I'm talking about an individual credit card, actually, for this specific sample example. Your credit card that you've added, your spouse is an authorized signer. For actual joint credit cards, you can call your creditor and you may have to reapply again, possibly as an individual person, to make sure that you can get approved on your own without your joint, you know, without sharing the credit with your spouse.
Yeah. The reason why it's important to kind of remove that other person from a loan, whether it be a mortgage or an auto loan, is you're still liable if someone's not going to make that payment, correct?
Yes. I think regardless of the type of debt you have, so I think right now what we're talking about is credit card or retail debt, right? Store credit, things like that. Regardless of what's going on during the negotiations and even afterwards, it's really vital that you continue to make the payments. Okay. So even if you two have to figure out while you're divorcing who's going to make what payment, it needs to happen, even if it's a minimum payment, because you don't want your credit ruined in the process. You don't just make it go away.
Yeah. So I know that, you know, there's people who might want to keep a joint credit card if they've got children involved to share like joint expenses though, for the child.
Yeah, that could be part of the negotiation. I have a joint credit card with my ex-husband, and we put, you know, the gymnastics lessons on that and the tutoring and whatever. And then at the end of every month, we settle up.
But that can also present a problem though. You've got to have, I guess, confidence that your partner or your ex-partner has the ability to make those payments. Because if they don't make the payments, it's also going to affect your credit as well, though.
Well, or the payment falls on you, right? So I'm the one with the mental load to remind him every month, hey, pay me this. Mm-hmm. So if he doesn't pay on time, I've got to pay, right? So this is not a setup for everybody, but it's a setup potentially for some couples. And then I know that mortgages was the second largest shared debt, right, from earlier. So there's a lot of ways to either continue sharing that or not, right? So sometimes couples can buy each other out, and then the person that is keeping the house keeps the mortgage. There's different things that you can do. We're probably going to go into another episode, but some examples are, you know, there are some mortgages that you are allowed to remove one joint person, joint owner of the mortgage, I guess, from it, but it depends on the mortgage and it depends on the mortgage company.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one way to do it. And that's if one spouse can afford to take it on themselves.
Yep.
Right. Other ways are, you know, it's very customized where the spouses can agree to both still be on the mortgage and both make the payments, perhaps as part of alimony for one of them. Or another example is both people stay on the mortgage, but one spouse is responsible for all the payments.
Yeah.
And if the decree is written in a certain way, the other spouse that is still on the mortgage but not paying anymore because they're not keeping the house, it will not exclude them or hurt them in terms of trying to apply for a new mortgage for themselves. But it needs to be written in a very special way in the decree so that it's obvious that when they apply for a new mortgage that they're not liable for the one that they're sharing for the house.
Because there can be a benefit for keeping your ex-spouse on even in a small percentage now, can't there?
Yes. For example, if you're keeping both spouses on the house as owners of the house and on the mortgage, and let's say the couple agrees to sell the house within 3 years or something like that, if the spouse that has no rights to it stays as a minority owner, even 1%, let's say, they can still potentially have that capital gains exclusion, that $250,000 each on it, if the house is sold within a certain time.
Yeah, which can be huge then, yeah?
Mm-hmm. And those are the types of little intricacies that I found that my lawyer and my mediator did not know and did not tell me about, because I think that could have been worked into my plan and it wasn't. So,
yeah, you only learned this by doing some of your recent or some training.
Actually,
recently.
CDFA training.
CDFA.
Yeah, I did not know that. So,
and I think we're going to have a whole episode just
on that.
The value of working with other professionals in addition just to an attorney, though.
Right.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk more about property separation and negotiation, stuff like that. Probably a different episode, but I think it's probably time for my favorite segment, divorce this or that.
So do you want to go first? Ladies first.
So we are in Florida. It's supposed to be cool here right now. It is kind of warm and muggy to me. So this is very relevant to your outfit. I don't know if the audience sees your outfit, but you are wearing shorts and flip-flops.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing, but you're going to have to divorce one. Shorts or flip-flops. Divorce it.
I've got it. Oh, that's easy.
What?
I'll get rid of my flip-flops. I won't wear anything. I'll just go barefoot.
God, this is not Australia. People don't walk barefoot anymore.
But you do know. So in Australia, people will just be walking down the street just in bare feet,
disgusting.
Actually. So I think that would probably creep you out.
I don't think you'd be allowed in any public establishments, but that's on you. It's fine.
Yeah.
Fine.
All right. So I was trying to tailor one specific because we are here at Disneyland.
Disney World. Disneyland
whatever,
is in
whatever,
Anaheim.
Whatever.
Oh,
so
God.
I didn't even know that there was multiple parks here. So you've got to divorce one of the parks though for me. And I don't know which
one. Here?
Ones. Yeah, here. So if you had to get rid of one of the parks, which one would you get rid of?
Gosh, I
and
hate
why?
To I hate to talk bad about any of them,
you
but
might alienate some people.
I think I'm gonna divorce Animal Kingdom. That's a one and done for me.
Ooh.
Yeah. I liked it, but we have really nice zoos and wild animal parks in California. I think that's fine. And I rode the fun rides at Animal Kingdom once, like maybe half a year ago, and I'm good with it. I'm good. Goodbye, Animal Kingdom. I divorce you.
Which one wouldn't you divorce then, I guess?
Ooh.
Which one's your favorite?
That's harder.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't.
I might keep that for later then.
Oh, so I can't answer it?
Yeah. Okay. Answer it. Yeah.
I wouldn't divorce Magic Kingdom.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a classic. It's a classic.
Yeah.
You might find
course.
Us there later. You might find us there later.
I don't
we'll
even
see.
Know what's at Magic Kingdom.
We will be at some point. Yes.
Great.
All right. We are at the end of this episode. Deaths and divorce at Walt Disney World. Excellent.
Day one.
We touched on evaluating these debts and liabilities, negotiating them.
And tips. Touched on a few little tips there. So hope you got some value out of it. As Joe mentioned earlier, we're probably going to dig into some of these topics a lot more later on in a separate podcast. But for now, that brings us to the end.
We're out.
Yeah, so hopefully you enjoyed us, and we'll be talking to you guys soon.
We'll see you at Magic Kingdom. Bye.
Jade and Joe are advisors of the Wealth Garden FS, an SEC registered investment advisor. The information is general and educational in nature and should not be considered financial, tax, or legal advice. It is not intended to serve as a substitute for personalized advice or as a recommendation or solicitation of any particular security, strategy, or investment product. Please consult with a qualified professional about your individual situation.
Advisory services are only offered to clients or prospective clients where the Wealth Garden Financial Services and its representatives are properly licensed or exempt from licensure. No advice may be rendered by the Wealth Garden Financial Services unless a client service agreement is in place.